Please welcome Senior Program Director with Enterprise Community Partners, Ms. Odetta McLeish-White.
Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me all right from this distance to the mic? We're all good. All right, great. It's certainly my pleasure to be here this morning to moderate our panel on helping underwater homeowners. And I want to thank my ANDP friends for giving me a promotion. I'm a program director at Enterprise Community Partners, but I'll tell Megan that they made me senior program director, and maybe they'll have to change that. But thank you so much. If I could please have my panelists join me at the podium. Mark McArdle, Chief of Home Ownership Preservation Office for U.S. Treasury, or his rep. Megan Moore, Special Advisor for the Federal Housing Finance Agency. And Carmen Chubb, Deputy Commissioner with the Georgia Department of Community Affairs. Hi, good to see you. We've talked by phone and, of course, had a chance to know Carmen. All right, while they're taking their seats, I'll just say a couple quick introductory words. So a hallmark of piece-by-piece convenings has been a commitment to providing information about solutions to the challenges being explored, and this morning will be no different. Our presenters represent programs that have been in existence for a number of years, but we hope that our conversation today will help to highlight how they complement one another, how they can address a variety of vulnerable populations, as well as specific negative equity situations, and how we can ensure that these programs reach and help as many families as possible. At Enterprise Community Partners, we are working on ending housing insecurity for 1 million households across the country by 2020, which is a goal that can only be reached through a variety of policies and programming. Supporting the effectiveness of federal programs is one way we can help keep families in their homes and strengthen neighborhoods. So let's get started. We're going to allow each of our panelists some time to present their respective programs, and then I'll follow each presentation with just a few moderated questions. And of course, we will be sure to leave time for your audience questions as well. So I ask that you please jot those down or hold them in your memory and be prepared to join us at the mics when that time comes. I'd like to start with Carmen Chubb. Let's do our home court. And Carmen, please start us off by talking a little bit about our Home Safe Georgia program.
Okay, thank you, and good morning, everyone. I want to start really by just stating that the Department of Community Affairs is the state's housing agency. So we've been engaged in the housing policy issues really across the spectrum for a number of years, from homelessness, rental housing, homeownership, and foreclosure prevention. And I want to also mention that we've been involved in housing counseling and foreclosure prevention really since the inception of the HUD housing counseling grants and now round 9 of the NFMC grant. So this is an issue we very much care about and have been involved in. I also want to acknowledge Mayor Jackson, since she's still in the room. She mentioned the Georgia Initiative for Community Housing, and that is a way that we work very closely with local governments as they address their housing needs. But today I want to speak specifically about HomeSafe Georgia, and I'll start out really giving you a picture of HomeSafe Georgia and the type of homeowners we've been able to help remain in their homes. I'll start with the Millbrooks family. They are from the Atlanta area, and it's a couple who both were working and within 30 days of each other lost their jobs. Very shortly after that, they found out that they were expecting their first child. So you can imagine a period of time that should have been one full of joy. They had a lot of insecurity about their housing and their economic situation. They applied for HomeSafe Georgia. They received assistance for 18 months and were able to become employed again and maintain their home. So that is an example of a family in Atlanta that we've been able to help. I recently met a woman in Augusta, Georgia. Her name is Ms. Walker. And Ms. Walker had been working at an insurance company for over 20 years. Before she decided to purchase her first home. Her daughter lived with her, as well as her granddaughter. And right after she closed on her home, I think it was less than 30 days, she got laid off. So again, at a time when someone was very deliberate about the process and felt like she had an extreme amount of financial security, she lost her job. She was able to get another job, but making significantly less money. So again, an example of someone who we consider underemployed, who was able to get assistance from the program. She actually is still receiving assistance and hopes to increase her income before the period of assistance ends. So I think it's important to know that these are real people, these are real situations, and that the program is real and can make a difference in people's lives. So what is HomeSafe Georgia? We've been talking about it for a number of years now, but it is a free program that provides assistance to homeowners who suffer financial hardships, primarily through unemployment or underemployment. But in 2014, we also expanded the program to include other financial hardships like medical hardships, death of a spouse, disability, or loss of income related to military service. So the three options we have are mortgage payment assistance, which is up to 24 months assistance if someone lost their job through no fault of their own and is either not working but seeking work or underemployed. The second option is reinstatement. If someone had a financial hardship, they're back at work, they can make their mortgage payments but are having trouble getting caught up, we will provide up to 12 months of assistance to reinstate the homeowner, and then they can make their payments going forward. And then the third option is for people who've had a permanent reduction in income. Either they had a death in the family of someone who was providing income to the household, or as a result of a medical issue, they received disability income or some reduced income. We work in that case with the mortgage lender to facilitate a lower mortgage payment. We call it a permanent reduction in the mortgage payment, and we will provide up to $45,000 in that case. So with those options, we've definitely seen the program take off. In 2014, we've had a 33% increase in the homeowners that we've served, a 63% increase in funding that we've provided. We've served over 6,300 households in the state. Most of those households are in the Atlanta metropolitan area. I can say that while I'm here in Atlanta, but when I'm in the state, I say to everyone that we want to serve everyone in Georgia who's eligible for the program if they're experiencing these hardships. We've helped people in 129 counties, and those are that leaves 30 counties where we are still very much engaged in making sure that homeowners in those counties are aware of the program and can access it. But the main result of the program is that people are staying in their homes as a result of this assistance. We've, in addition to expanding the program in 2014, we implemented a marketing campaign where we're focused on areas with high percentages of unemployment and foreclosure. So in the Atlanta area, you may have heard us with our commercials on radio stations. I know we've been on Praise and Kiss. We've actually done live interviews on those radio stations, as well as we've had commercials running on those stations. We have billboards in high foreclosure areas, and we've done some things with mobile ads on cell phones based on certain demographics that are in line with the target market for HomeSafe Georgia. We've also done some things to streamline our website, since that's the primary access point for people to apply for the program. We've simplified it. We have a pre-qualification quiz. We call it 7 Easy Questions to help people determine if they may be eligible for HomeSafe Georgia. And if so, once they answer those questions and feel comfortable that they think they may be eligible, then they can apply right there. If they're not comfortable applying for the program online, we have partners in Atlanta. We've actually just increased the number of agencies that have been certified to assist people through the process. And if you, if people want to access it directly, we have customer service staff that can take an application over the phone or by mail. So the primary way we access or people become aware of the program is through their mortgage servicers. So we're very grateful. I know we have at least Wells Fargo in the room and others who have partnered with us to make sure their homeowners are aware of the program. But word of mouth is also a high factor in how people hear about the program. So we think that as a result of our marketing, of our community outreach, and our extensive outreach with the Department of Labor. So I'll pause there and take your questions.
Thank you so much. We're so happy to hear about the upticks and the expansion in the program, and did want to ask if DCA is considering any new initiatives other than mortgage programs for qualified homeowners that will help to expand the full program allocation by 2017.
That is a great question. What you have noticed about the program is since the beginning, we've been very focused on providing assistance to homeowners. So we started with homeowners who were unemployed or underemployed, expanded to other financial hardships. So that really is the primary focus of our program. But I will say we are fully committed. I'll say that in front of Treasury, Mark McArdle here. We are fully committed to using the funds by the end of 2017, and we have not ruled out other program options. We're consistently reviewing the needs of homeowners in the state and plan to continue to address those changing needs with changes to our program.
Great. So we have at this convening today well over 150 regional leaders and housing stakeholders, including, as we heard earlier, realtors and, of course, housing counselors, who are a critical component to helping folks navigate all of these systems. But how can we best harness the power that you see in this room to help maximize participation in your specific programs?
Well, I think the best thing that people in this room can do is help people know about the program and know that the program is a real option to help them save their homes. One of the things that I think we all recognize is with the availability of different resources for different situations, it can be confusing. It can also be difficult to know who to trust. So I started my remarks talking about two homeowners who remain in their homes because of the program through HomeSafe Georgia. So what people here can do is talk about the program to others, help people understand that it's real, that it's trustworthy, that it's free, that it's available, but it isn't available forever. As Odetta alluded earlier, we have until the end of 2017 to commit all of the funds. And it really is a one-time opportunity for people who are in unique situations financially to tap the resources provided by the government to stay in their home. So talk about it to everybody you know and add legitimacy to the program.
Thank you so much, Carmen. I'd like to turn to Mark now and ask you to please talk a little bit about your programs at Treasury with Making Home Affordable.
Sure thing. My office runs Making Home Affordable, which is the HAMP modification program, and also funds states across the country like Georgia with the HomeSafe Georgia program. So we've recognized at Making Home Affordable that negative equity has been central to this crisis. When it started, there were 10 million homes out underwater, and the lack of equity limited options for homeowners when they faced trouble. So from early on, we designed our modification programs to have elements that would help underwater borrowers. Our main program is a modification program. It's HAMP, the Home Affordable Modification Program, and it's for folks who are facing a hardship and have trouble paying their mortgage. And there's a couple different tools within that. There's the standard HAMP, which goes to 31%. And what we call our Tier 2, which basically does a series of steps, including lowering your interest rate and extending your term, both of which have the PRA, or principal reduction alternative, available. So if your loan is over 115 loan-to-value, you must be evaluated for PRA, and we provide incentives to your servicer to lower your mortgage balance to as low as 100% LTV, and we pay up to 60 cents on the dollar. And so we try to strongly incentivize principal reduction, because we believe it is an effective tool to keep people in their homes. In Georgia alone, there's been 50,000 permanent modifications started under HAMP, and the typical savings is nearly $400 a month, and that's real savings. A lot of folks are going to be facing a step up starting this year. It goes, the way HAMP works is the 31% HAMP. It brings your rate down as low as 2%, and then it raises your rate by no more than 1% a year to the market rate at time of mod. So for 90% of folks, that's 5% or below. A lot of folks started HAMP with rates well and over above 6. So this basically is still a good deal, but we wanted to make sure people were aware and prepared for the rate step up. Some of the things we've done, we've made a few changes to HAMP. We always have had a pay-for-success incentive in HAMP. So homeowners who are in the program can earn $1,000 a year, which is applied toward their principal. We've increased that, adding a year 6 incentive for $5,000 toward your principal, and your servicer will offer to recast your loan. So that means for those, you know, HAMP borrowers who are in a permanent modification, they can earn essentially up to $10,000 of principal reduction, and if they need it, they can get the recast, which provides some payment relief. Some of the other changes we did is we lowered the rate on Tier 2, which hopefully can provide payment relief for folks who can't make that stepped-up payment. And finally, we think an important tool for some folks is HAFA, which, another acronym. I know the government some loves the acronyms, especially H acronyms in my program. But HAFA is a short sale program that basically provides incentives to your servicer to enable a short sale. It also, most importantly, provides up to $10,000 in relocation assistance for a family who chooses to relocate. And we think short sales are an important tool for folks who are underwater who might need to move because of a job or have decided the home is no longer right for them. So those are some of the basic tools that we offer. There are other ancillary programs as part of HAMP. We have a second lien program called 2MP, which helps folks with second liens. If they have a first lien modified under HAMP, they can get assistance on their second lien if their servicer participates. And, of course, HHF, which we gave to states who are facing particularly distressed problems like Georgia is. Georgia has been hard hit in this crisis. So those are the basic suite of options that we offer. And I'll take any questions.
Great, thank you. So you've heard a little bit about some of the sub-programs that help with underwater borrowing. We wanted to drill down on a specific population. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau reports that the number one complaint category filed by veterans and service members to CFPB over the past 3 years has been under the mortgage category. And within that, 56% were saying that they're unable to meet their mortgage payments. What help could be available through HAMP or its sub-programs, specifically for military service personnel or veterans with a VA loan?
So HAMP does allow a permanent change of station as a hardship under HAMP, and folks who have to move because they've had a transfer in their military service that can qualify as a qualifying hardship. I believe HHF also has some military-related hardships that you allow. Mm-hmm. So that's the primary way that our programs are available, because we understand that can be a stress when you have to move and you can't sell your house, maybe it's underwater. So we wanted to make sure those folks were captured in our programs.
Carmen, did you want to speak specifically to that?
Well, one of the things we've done under the HomeSafe Georgia program is identified military service as a hardship category. So if there's a reduction in income related to military service, it doesn't have to be unemployment or a medical issue or anything like that. If there's a reduction in income or loss of income because of military service, then that meets our hardship requirement and can make that person eligible under any of those categories that I talked about.
Great. Megan, when we get to you, if you have any elements that you want to relate back to the veterans question when you discuss
your
program?
There's a Service Member Civil Relief Act, which I think has a lot of protections for service members, not only for mortgages, but even interest rates on credit cards and things of that nature. And also I know the CFPB has an actual service member's office that's headed up by Holly Petraeus, and I know that there's a lot of focus, but there's specifically the Service Member Civil Relief Act put in place a lot of protections for service members.
Thank you so much. Mark, we'll just finish sort of the moderated questions with you with the same one we asked Carmen. How can we harness the folks and the power in this room to help maximize participation in your programs, especially with all the H acronyms? How do we help folks feel more comfortable entering those systems?
So we understand we're not out of the woods yet. I mean, there's still 5 million households underwater. There are still, millions of folks who are having trouble paying their mortgage. We recently extended MHA through 2016. But the most important thing is for folks to reach out and get help if they need it, and to, of course, be wary of scams, but always reach out for help. We have a number, the HOPE hotline, 888-995-HOPE-4673, and the earlier someone reaches out in their delinquency, the more options they have, so we encourage folks to reach out early and take advantage of these programs while they're still there. And I'll echo the comments of the Woodstock Institute person about the Mortgage Debt Relief Act. It would be important for folks to have that extended. I believe there's a bill in Congress now that would actually give it a two-year extension instead of doing it year by year.
That's always nice. Megan, you're up. Thank you for describing some of your programs with FHFA, please.
Sure. So first, I want to thank Piece by Piece for inviting us to participate, particularly Susan Adams. This is our second trip to Atlanta, so we know how important the Atlanta region is. So I work for the Federal Housing Finance Agency, and many people, lots of acronyms, like what is FHFA? And so we're actually a regulator. We are the regulator for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and the 12 federal home loan banks. And Atlanta has a federal home loan bank here. And we're also, since 2008, the conservator for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac as well, which presents a different set of unique challenges. So FHFA, like I said, we're the regulator of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And one of the key programs that both enterprises, I'll refer to them as the enterprises, have to address negative equity is the Home Affordable Refinance Program, or better known as HARP. And so that'd be the program I wanted to spend a little time talking to you guys about. So HARP was created in 2009, and as Mark said, you know, a lot of underwater negative equity borrowers, and we want to try to create an opportunity for these borrowers to refinance their mortgages if they had an LTV of 80 or higher. And it, at one point, there was even a cap on the LTV, and now there's no cap to the LTV, and really trying to create a different opportunity for underwater borrowers to refinance. And not only can you refinance and help, you know, save money. I believe you can save as much as $200 a month. But you can also refinance into a shorter-term mortgage as well, a 15- or 20-year mortgage, and that oftentimes that helps you rebuild equity faster. So far, 3.2 million homeowners have taken advantage of HARP, but there's still a lot of HARP-eligible borrowers out there that have not yet taken advantage. And I understand there's, I mean, it's an alphabet soup of programs that are available, and I know that it's very difficult for borrowers to navigate them. But HARP, you know, there are specific requirements to be eligible. Your mortgage does have to be backed by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. Your LTV, the loan-to-value ratio, so how much your home is worth versus how much you owe, has to be over 80. And right now, there's over 700,000 people that are kind of like in this in the money population. And that's the people that we're really trying to go after, the borrowers who have an interest rate of 1.5% or higher. And those are the people who can really, really save and really have a strong financial incentive to refinance. And so just in Georgia, there's 45,000 of these in-the-money homeowners who are eligible to refinance through HARP. And in the Atlanta area, there's 29,000. And, you know, what we're trying to do is really get to these borrowers while interest rates are still low, give them the opportunity to refinance, get the message out. The questions have been, you know, how can we partner and work with other people? You know, really have to depend on trusted sources, like many of you in this audience, to bring credibility not only to HARP, but to all of our programs. And oftentimes, particularly a HARP borrower, they may not feel comfortable walking into a housing counseling agency or going to a borrower event. It might just come up in more of a casual conversation, like, hey, you know, I'm having a little tough time, and you all as a trusted source can really provide that credibility that we're looking for to get the word out about the program. So HARP is one program, and I think there's no coincidence why you have the three of us here, because I think it's also important to remember that all these programs really do complement each other. I think Piece by Piece did a great job. If you look in your resource guide, it literally has every program. I mean, there's a program for almost everyone, and I think that we've definitely have learned a lot since 2009. We know that one size fits all is not going to help fix the solution. So you need different programs to help different borrowers address their unique needs. So HARP is if you're current, you're underwater, and you want to refinance. HAMP and the suite of options are, hey, I'm delinquent, I'm experiencing a hardship, I need help perhaps lowering my monthly payment, and particularly with HomeSafe Georgia, they can help in some of the in-between. So I think it's important to remember that there's an entire spectrum, and I think we at FHFA are focused, even before you buy a home, we're also focused on some of the access to credit initiatives. We're focused if you're current and you want to refinance. We want to help you on that first day where you miss your payment or that first day where you know you're going to get laid off. Go to HomeSafe Georgia on that first day. Get your 18 months of payment. But the longer you wait, and I know it's a very uncomfortable situation, the tools just shorten. But if you really start at day one and you really, you know, take this message from here and put it into the community and tell people, you know, you shouldn't be ashamed, it's not anything to be embarrassed, but you really need to help people on day one. So there's just a range of programs. I know there was a woman who even asked about investors at the back end. We're focused on that. We're focused on neighborhood stabilization. We don't want to create, you know, neighborhoods or communities of investor properties. So we're kind of looking at it from soups to nuts, A to Z. And so what we're trying to do is we've been doing outreach events. So we were in Atlanta in August at Ebenezer Baptist Church. Mark was on the panel. It was a wonderful program and kind of exciting to go from the MLK Center to here to the Carter Center. We also went to Chicago, Detroit, Miami, Newark, Vegas, and we're really trying to go to the places where there's the highest concentration of borrowers. And we really don't typically invite borrowers. We invite folks like you, you know, who are those trusted sources who can really disseminate this information in a very trustworthy way. So we're really hoping that you know, through the tools today, we also have a HARP map. HARP.gov is the primary source where you can find information. And we actually have a map that we update each quarter. And we can't give you these names. I wish I could just print out a list and say, hey, call these folks, knock on their doors. But my lawyers tell me I can't do that. So instead, we created a map. And it's of all HARP eligibles, but this kind of in-the-money population who can really save. And so we have those that information by state, by county, by MSA, and even down to the zip code. So you can go home and check your zip code, and if you're having a community event, just kind of keep in mind, hey, there's 400 people in my zip code who are eligible to refinance. Maybe there's a way I can talk to them about that. So we're hoping that you guys can take the message, not only about HARP, but all of the programs, and let people know that I promise there's probably something for you depending on your unique situation.
Well, all right. The question then that I will pose to you specifically regards neighborhood stabilization and the initiative that FHFA has going on now. Chicago and Detroit are participating. We'd love to hear a little bit more about the neighborhood stabilization initiative and
sure.
whether Atlanta might ever be included.
So I think the unique thing about the Neighborhood Stabilization Initiative and the things that we try to do sometimes in a government is really have pilots. You know, let's test some initiative, let's test an idea and see if it can be replicated across the country. So the point behind the Neighborhood Stabilization Initiative is to kind of get at this quote-unquote, this block of granite. You know, right now as we're turning the corner from the crisis, there are a ton of non-performing loans. And there's also a ton of REO properties, these foreclosed properties. And right now we're churning along, we're chipping, you know, piece by piece. No pun intended, I guess. But we're trying to figure out a more, you know, holistic strategy and really trying to leverage nonprofits as well in that. So what we're doing in Detroit is leveraging nonprofits through the National Community Stabilization Trust, NCST, and selling them these REO properties, giving them an exclusive opportunity before you kind of list them for sale. But give the either owner-occupants or these nonprofits an exclusive first look at these properties. But you got to test it, you know. And as much as I love these initiatives, they're very hard to execute. And in order for me to go back to D.C. and tell folks we need to do it in more cities, we need some success, you know. So I think that it's wonderful when we have these programs. But honestly, we need folks to step up to the plate. Everyone, you know, kind of comes and advocates, you know, for an initiative. And I'm like, great, let's do it. You know, that requires some work, you know, and some execution. So I think if we're able to execute on these pilots, then it makes for the case to expand it to other places.
That's great. All right, we've got just about 10 or 15 minutes left for this panel, and we'd love to open it up to audience questions. We do have our two mics, and you've seen the process already a couple times today. Are there any questions for the panelists? Mayor Jackson, thank you.
Yes, thank you so much for the information that you've shared. It's been very informative. But one of the things that I have wondered about is there a possibility in terms of building, I guess, a relationship between the principal reduction and the short sale? I know that in some cases that there have been, you know, financial institutions that they won't agree to a principal reduction for the homeowner, but at the same time, you know, suggest the availability of a short sale. And to me, you know, if they're willing to agree to a short sale, that means that they have agreed to accepting a lower price for the property. And it would make more sense to offer that opportunity to the homeowner, because I think it would make it much more practical for them to be able to stay in their home, because they invested not just in a building, but they invested into a community. So I was wondering, as a policy matter, is there some way to begin to work to allow the short sales to actually be used for the benefit of the homeowners themselves? Thank you.
Thank you.
So Mark and I might contradict ourselves here. I'll start with the bad news and let Mark start with the good news. I mean, principal reduction and debt forgiveness is a big issue, and I agree. I mean, not only with your mortgage, but student loan debt forgiveness, credit card debt forgiveness, medical bill debt forgiveness. So I think, not to put it in that bigger context, but it's, you know, I think the situation, particularly for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, who currently don't allow it, Director Watt kind of always talks about trying to have this win-win, you know, where you have the enterprises, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, who do guarantee a lot of the mortgages. They are operating under conservatorship, and we do have a responsibility to protect taxpayers. Taxpayers, each one of you all are standing behind these enterprises right now, where you want to protect the assets and protect the taxpayers. But on the same side, you know, when you want to help borrowers and you want to help these neighborhoods and you want to try to put forth a program where you don't put taxpayers and enterprises at risk, where you're also helping borrowers, particularly borrowers, to start reperforming again. You know, from the enterprises book, I want to say 85% of borrowers who are underwater are performing. I mean, a lot of folks are paying their mortgage who are underwater, and I think we're just trying to figure out if there's a way where we can do a targeted principal reduction program that, you know, doesn't put taxpayers at risk and helps borrowers. But we're also trying to think creatively. Even NSI is a way that we're trying to think creatively, testing different pilots. Another one we're doing are non-performing loan sales. So all the way at the end, these severely delinquent loans, you know, selling them to another entity that has different tools, who has different things that they can do. And hopefully testing these things will complement a different program. But it's definitely not off the table. No decision's been made. But I'm telling you, it's a more difficult decision than I think that we all acknowledge, but Treasury's doing something on it, so this will be the good news part.
Well, so we always, back to the PRA part of it, we always require that evaluation for HAMP first. You can't, a lender who participates in our program can't put someone into a short sale, and we put more of our money behind the modification than we do for a short sale. So if it's at all possible, if that modification makes any economic sense, and we require an NPV test, and we put money to the lender, both to write down the principal and to modify that loan. So we basically put our money where our mouth is and try to push lenders toward principal reduction modifications wherever possible. And then if they do go with the short sale route, there are incentives, at least for the homeowner, so they can relocate if they need to. I'll mention that there are some pilots across the country where they're trying to do short sales to the homeowner who's actually there.
That's right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Boston and Oregon. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, it's an easier transaction. So HHF actually pays for it in Oregon. Mm-hmm. So essentially, the short sale is done to a nonprofit slash state agency who issues a new loan to the homeowner at the market value. Mm-hmm. And we're able to help a goodly number of people out in those couple counties in Oregon where they were hit with negative equity. So there's some creative thinking here around mm-hmm. what are lenders willing to do, what can they do, where does it make sense to put your money. So,
great. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Your name, please, and affiliation.
Hi, my name is Alora Raymond. I'm a PhD student at Georgia Tech's School of City and Regional Planning. And my question is less about the, you know, these are all very individually targeted programs, but I'm curious also if you have any comments about the appraisal guidelines. So anecdotally, I've heard that in some of the harder hit areas of Atlanta, if your house is appraised at, say, $100,000, but there's this negative trajectory to the home prices, that people are saying, we're only going to be willing to lend at, you know, $95,000, and that, of course, reinforces the whole trend. So I'm wondering if you guys have any comments about how appraisals fit into this whole picture, and especially as we think about not just the individual person who's in a crisis, but an entire neighborhood that needs to come back up to help everybody. Thanks.
I mean, I've heard similar things, that the appraisal process is going through some troubles right now, not only finding an accurate value, but I hear there's a lack of people doing appraisals. The wait time for appraisals has lengthened in many parts of the country. And what you said about determining the accurate value and then limiting people's options for credit, it's something we're aware of at Treasury, and we are talking to folks about it. So it's good to hear that it's a concern here. I don't know if Carmen or Megan, you have anything to add.
I think probably for me, I'd rather talk to you after the panel because I have the folks here who do our single family lending. So I don't want to misspeak on that subject, but certainly have some folks here that can talk specifically about that.
I know Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are strengthening their appraisal tools, and they have a new collateral underwriter. I know that could be an issue, but I think they're also trying to break down some of those barriers so that the situation you just described doesn't, continue to persist.
Thank you. Over here, please.
Hi, my name is Sarah Mancini. I'm an attorney with the Home Defense Program of Atlanta Legal Aid. We represent low and moderate income homeowners throughout the 5-county metro area who are struggling and working to save their homes from foreclosure. And I wanted to direct a question to Carmen, and I'd be happy to if Mark has any insight to share from the broader hardest hit funds experience. We were so happy to see HomeSafe Georgia expand in 2014 to offer these new programs, the reinstatement and the recast program. My question relates to the recast program and a concern that it seems like that program is still having trouble reaching the people who could benefit from it. And particularly when we're talking about underwater homes, that program of HomeSafe Georgia could do a tremendous amount to help homeowners regain a positive equity position. Yet I understand very few homeowners have been approved to date. So I'm wondering if you've identified barriers or reasons why that program hasn't been reaching as many people as I'm sure you would like, and ways that it could be strengthened. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Sarah, and thank you for your comments about the expansion. We are looking at the permanent reduction in income, the program that provides the $45,000 as really the program that has the most opportunity to grow. We were in D.C. last week and talked to Treasury about a couple of things that we were thinking might help on the LTV issues. But again, in that program, where we focused is on hardships related to unemployment, underemployment, medical issues, death of a spouse, not just whether or not someone is underwater. Now, again, we haven't ruled that out for future consideration, but right now, if someone has one of those eligible hardships and can qualify for that program, we want to make sure we don't have any other barriers related to the LTV, specifically if it's a low balance mortgage or the assistance to get the homeowner to an affordable payment bumps into some of our LTV guidelines. So we are looking very closely at that. We also think the opportunity there really comes from working more closely with servicers, because it does take a collaboration with the servicer to make the permanent affordable payment. We either need, Mark mentioned earlier, a recast. We need to see some of the terms of the mortgage change, because principal reduction alone won't lower the payment. So working with servicers and finding out ways that we can streamline the program or remove some of the barriers. So we've already started making some of that outreach. I think the servicers in the room would acknowledge that we've made that contact and really want to figure out what the barriers are, because that's a program that works very closely with the servicers' cooperation to find the best outcome for the borrower. But the things that we've identified, we've already put them on Treasury's radar and are in some conversations to remove some of those barriers.
And I'll just say, we work closely with Carmen. We talk to them all the time. And we encourage all states to sort of think outside the box and think about where the need is and where you could be creative in expanding your programs. I mean, there are folks who are underwater who maybe they are reemployed now, but they're reemployed at a significantly less income than they used to be. That is, in a way, a permanent hardship. Some of these folks are not going to see the incomes they used to have before. If the recast can get them to affordability, that's something we strongly encourage states to look at, that some states do that. I mean, recast is now offered by 14 states, I believe, including Georgia. And there's a range of what situations it's used under, but we in a state like Georgia, which still has significant negative equity, has unemployment above the national average, there seems to be opportunities here to leverage this program in cooperation with lenders to get more payment relief to folks.
We'll take one last question.
Good morning. I think it's still morning. My name is Kate Little. I'm with Georgia ACT. And Megan, I want you to take back to Mel Watt our sincere thanks for capitalizing the National Housing Trust Fund. That hasn't been brought up, but we're really looking forward to those funds flowing in 2016.
Thank you.
And then I just have a general question. Several of you have mentioned home buying counseling, pre-purchase counseling. And I guess you know that with the limited federal resources, that there has actually been a reduction from year to year in the monies available to fund home buying counseling agencies. I'm just wondering if any of you are giving any thought to providing some additional funding so that those home buyer counselors who also do foreclosure counseling can continue to reach out to as many troubled homeowners as possible.
I'll mention, so on our side, we're more active in the foreclosure space, but we do believe that counseling has been demonstrated to be an effective tool for both pre-purchase and foreclosure mitigation. So we do what is called post-mod counseling. So we offer incentives to servicers to basically provide counseling to all folks in a HAMP modification who are at risk of default or who are entering a new trial, because often folks can benefit from this service. It's more than, they often need more than a modification. They need holistic financial counseling. And we think that this is a big challenge for the industry as a whole, mm-hmm. is how do you integrate counseling into the purchase process?
Yeah.
I've heard metaphors like you pay for a home inspector, but there's some way to integrate mm-hmm. that cost of counseling as just sort of a good practice for first-time home buyers. But, I mean, that's just some of the thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at it, too. So there's this document that we spent a lot of time on in D.C. It's a scorecard for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac that kind of governs their priorities while they're in conservatorship. And one of the scorecard items for 2015 is looking into housing counseling, and particularly, I think, on the pre-purchase side as well, because I think on the foreclosure side, I think the counseling agencies do a wonderful job of really trying to get to people, you know, earlier in the process. I know funding always comes up. You know, I think that's something that everyone is looking at. I think everyone sees the value in that. And just also related, we rolled out, Fannie Mae has already started doing it. Freddie Mac will start in a couple weeks. We rolled out a 97 LTV product, and it gets reaction on both sides of it, but it also includes some of the pre-purchase counseling, and it also includes a lot of other safeguards, you know, lower DTI, higher credit scores, but also this counseling where you can get a borrower, I think, into a really responsible product, particularly like many of my friends who may just not have the wealth, you know, to put down, you know, 20 or 40%, but still have the amount of money and resources to pay a mortgage every month and really want to buy a home. But a lot of that would be that pre-purchase counseling. And so Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are looking at that this year, and it's a scorecard item that they'll be measured against.
And at the state level, we require anyone who gets one of our Georgia Dream loans with down payment assistance to receive pre-purchase counseling. And because of that, we aggressively pursue all the funding that's made available for housing counseling. And we've also expanded the options that counseling agencies that are under contract with us can access if they provide assistance to a HomeSafe Georgia applicant and get them through the process. They can be compensated for that through the HomeSafe Georgia program if we had an RFP, we selected certain agencies, and we trained them. So we have an additional resource to support those agencies that work specifically with applicants for HomeSafe Georgia. So we certainly see the value of it and incorporate it and integrate it throughout our programs. We also do some creative things to leverage funding from other entities, from lenders and banks, to support training of counseling agencies and continuing education. So it's something we always aggressively pursue and support at DCA.
Well, listen, we had the best question section of the morning. in my opinion. So thank you all so much for that. And we will be able to end on time as well, which I know is important to all of our planning organizers. So thank you so much to the best panel of the morning as well. Please join me in thanking Megan, Mark, and Carmen. Thank you so much.